About 3 years ago, I was camping with some of our granddaughters and a great niece, two of our granddaughters, a great granddaughter and a great niece. And we'd set up camp, and it was lovely at a beautiful little creek. And I sat down under a shade of a tree, and they went for a walk. And about 20 minutes later, they came back and said, "Can we ask you a question, Grandpa?" I said, "Sure." They said, "How long will you live?" How do you answer a question like that? So I said, "Let me think about it." Okay, and off they went, and I thought, well, how do I answer that? And eventually they came back, and I said to them, look, this is my response. I love you very much. And my goal for you is to see you grow up into beautiful young women who love Jesus with all your heart. How long will that take?" I said, "Well, you go away and think about that." So off they went and came back, and they said, "We think about 10 years. I said, "Okay, that's right. That'll make me about 94 or whatever." So off they went. They thought about it, and I thought about this just recently. We hadn't seen our granddaughter for some months because of COVID, and we hadn't seen any of our grandchildren at all. And we went out to visit our granddaughter, Anika, for her birthday, and she's as tall as Jeanette. She just sort of suddenly shot up. And I looked at her and I said, "You are a beautiful young woman." She said, "Don't die, you can't die yet." So I said, "Yeah, but the second part of it's got to be fixed. You've got to love Jesus with all your heart." And when we had our great-grandchildren with us, I saw the growth. It's evident. And that's my heart for you and for the church and for the people that we minister to, that we have spiritual growth. This passage of Scripture is about the church and about growing individually as members of the church in order for the church to grow. And it's very wonderful. God has given us these special abilities, the insight to enable us to grow and to mature Christian. I want to illustrate it at the end. But I wonder if you've ever thought, how does God actually see the church? What does God see? The word church is an interesting word. It's actually the word ecclesia. And it actually has the idea of an assembly, a gathering of people who have been called out from, in our case, the world. We're no longer members or citizens of this world. We're now members of heaven. We're already citizens of the kingdom of God. I was editing yesterday afternoon, and I stated that in the article of the work we're doing. We are citizens of heaven. And my editor said, "Not yet. We won't be citizens until we get there." I said, no. We are members together now. We are citizens of heaven. And how does God view us? He loves us. This is love, not that we love God, but God loved us and gave himself for us that we might live through him. And then he goes on and says, if God loved us like that, we should love one another. And then God sees the church as a people. He says in Peter, you once were not a people. In fact, he says you are a holy people. You were once not a people. Now you're the people of God. We belong to him. He is part of us. He is enmeshed in our lives and will not ever be forsaken. This concept of being the body of Christ is a beautiful concept, because the body concept means a unit of members that functions together. Get that concept? Now, sitting around this auditorium this morning and listening on Zoom this morning, you're members of this body. And then we are connected with the wider body. And the lovely thing is, now I move around, as you know, and I preach in various churches, and I go to the church and feel I'm actually part of that. Or have you ever been in a situation where you, maybe perhaps in another country, where you look around you and you think, I'm the only Christian here? And you look around and you can't see anybody else that looks like a Christian, whatever a Christian looks like in that kind of situation. And then you begin to engage with people and you suddenly find somebody who is a follower of Jesus. What happens at that point? For me, I think I belong. And we engage together at a new level. We have a new connection, and it's Jesus, because we're part of the body. And every one of us has the potential to contribute to growth in the body as we ourselves grow. And God has given us this special book. It's God's book. He has revealed himself through his book. All we need to know about God is there. All we need to know about his love for us. All we need to know about his purpose for us. His desire for the church. His desire for lost people. He wants us to love lost people and engage with them. I came out of my gate this morning and a guy walked past and said, "Are you living the dream?" And I said, "Absolutely, I am." He said, "Oh, are you?" I said, "Yes, Jesus is the focus of the dream." He said, "Oh, I wasn't talking about that dream." I said, "Oh, it's not a dream, it's a reality." And he looked a bit stunned and startled, and I said, "You're afraid of that. What does that say to you? Who is Jesus to you? I've never thought about it." I said, "Well, I want to challenge you as you keep on your walk to think about Jesus." Now, he went off. "Good, thanks, mate." He went off, and I don't know what he will think about. But you see, my heart went out to him. Does he know Jesus? Looked a bit younger than me, whatever that meant. But he needs to know Jesus. And I want to engage him with the wonder of Jesus. Not only has God given us this book, but God has given to us specially gifted people who explain the book to us. What a lovely privilege I had as a young Christian. I was led to the Lord through a truant inspector when I wagged school. And he worked with me for 3 years. He followed me up. And when I first became a Christian, he gave me a Bible or a New Testament, a little paperback New Testament. And he went through 1 John with me. And he helped me to memorize, "He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son does not have life." The life is in the Son. And he who is in the Son has life. He took that little New Testament and he took a little tract and he said, "This is life. This is the life of the Son. This is the Son. Those who are in the Son have life." Now, because you've received Jesus, you're in the Son. What does that mean? I have life. And I remember him teaching me the Word of God. And it says here, God has given to us specially gifted people. Who are they? Well, they're prophets. They're apostles and prophets. Now, the Apostle Paul said, "God has called me and anointed me as a prophet, as a teacher, and an apostle." Now, he was more gifted than most of us. And the whole idea of apostle, God has called us, some of us, to minister to those out there. One of my best friends went off as a missionary to Kalimantan. And for 9 years, they tried to get a visa. And they were knocked back. People said, "Look, go somewhere else." No, God has burdened me for Kalimantan. And he had a little phrase, "I'll dirty my knees on the sand at the shore of Kalimantan one day." And he did. Had an incredible ministry. And when he was dying, he said to me over the telephone, "Will you care for my sons? And I've taken these two boys, Simon and Paulie, and Paul has a ministry equal to no, but beyond anybody else that I know. His goal this year is to reach 1 million people. And he will." They did that last year. Where are they targeting? Afghanistan, India, Pakistan, all the difficult places. And his wife, his mum, actually wrote to me saying, children in Afghanistan are asking about Jesus. Why? The apps. You see, apostle, sent one, engaging. Now, I don't know whether God will call you to go and engage as a sent one, but he will call you to be a disciple of Jesus. A disciple is one who commits to become like Jesus. And you do that through growth. God has given us his special people. What's a prophet? Now, my grandson wrote to me and asked a question with another word in front of the prophet. That means, I'm special, God gives me special words. Now, here's the special word. And in 2 Corinthians 14, the word prophet means somebody to proclaim the truth of Scripture with authority. That is, God has given them the ability to expound the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit takes that truth and he impacts our hearts and our minds. That's a prophet. Somebody gifted especially to especially expound the Scripture. Ross Clifford, the principal of our college, he's a prophet. I hear truths coming. I know him so well. I know what his thought is. But when I hear him preach, I hear him expounding the Word of God. And people listen. A church he went to recently said, wow. The pastor, I mentor the pastor, I said, how did Ross go? Wow. Now that's what you want to hear. The congregation listening and hearing. So God has given us some prophets, pastors. We have the privilege of a special pastor here. God has gifted him and brought him to this international community. And I love our church. I love the reflection of the international community. It's going to be like that in heaven. And we need to love each other and reflect that because God has brought us together. But God has given these special people pastors, teacher. Actually, it's pastor, teacher. And you may have noticed the development of our pastor in his preaching and his exposition of the word. It's special. We are privileged to have somebody who will do that. So why has God given us these people? Well, he wants to build us up. But see what it says here about these special teachers. He has given these people to equip his people. What's equip mean? And to give you the tools, give you the ability, give you the insight, give you the enabling for works of service. In other words, let me rephrase that. What God does, he gives us the word of God so that we'll spiritually grow. We won't spiritually grow unless we do something with that truth that God has given to us. And we may do it by simply applying the one another principles of Scripture. And the one another, I this morning I just looked it up, and let me list off the one another principles because it's so easy to pick them up and use them. He says, love one another. Oh, that's easy, isn't it? Oh, love is a choice. We make a choice to love people. And the more you love God, the more you will love people. Why did my heart go out to that man this morning? Because I perceive that he's lost. And I don't know what he meant, are you living the dream? Probably have got lots of money in a big house. No, I'm not, if that's the case. But I'm living the dream to know what life's about, to know God through Jesus. That's the dream. And to do that, the more I love God, the more I love you, and especially lost people. God loves lost people. He loves African lost people. I love Africa. He loves lost people in Nepal, China, Asia. And when you love people like that, you just can't not engage with them. So he says, love one another. Be devoted to one another. Choose to commit yourself to one another. Encourage one another. That's not hard, is it? You know, say, thank you very much. We have lots of people at college who are engaged in backroom work. And I want to encourage them to know that every engagement they have with the international students will make them part of the ripple effect. Now, we have a young man in Uganda whose son died, and just this last week, had a huge big funeral. And 20 people came to Jesus at the funeral. I don't know who those people are. He has mentored 11 people every year who mentor 11 others. Why 11? Jesus had 11 good disciples. Now, that's African thinking. He baptizes some 20 people every week. They led to them, not his people, but others. He baptizes in a suit. I saw the photographs of this baptism. I thought, Amos has got a suit on. So I said to Amos, were you in a suit? He said, yes. I said, why are you wearing a suit in the river? He said, I'm dealing with sacred things. What do I say to that? Can't say a thing to that. What's he doing? He's encouraging people. He's committed to people. He's loving people. He's bearing one another's burdens. So I hear the story of Juliet. I get involved with them because they have a burden. They have a concern. We have a girl at Destiny at the moment who's in deep, deep trouble. And we've written to her, encouraged her, because God's hand has been evident upon her. Forgive one another. That's a good one. You know, forgiveness is a key magic principle. And I've heard people say, I won't forgive him, he doesn't deserve it. And I say, you don't forgive for him. You forgive for you. You see, the forgiveness principle is an incredible principle because it releases you from the bitterness and anger and frustration that comes when you don't forgive. Honour one another. What's that mean? I mean, don't be derogatory. Don't tell things about others that will make them less than you. Very often we belittle others because we want to elevate ourselves. And that's a very destructive process. He says, honour one another. He adds that, build one another up. Now, how do you build others up? Well, you share with them your spiritual growth. And, you know, people say, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. I say, you will discover your spiritual gift when you begin to contribute to others. And here's a good starting point. Live in harmony with one another. And so he goes on this lovely journey with them. And he says, God has given you these special gifts that they might equip you for works of service. Now, as we do these things, he says, so the body will be built up. And then he goes on and he describes this building up until we reach unity in the faith, the sense of oneness together, and the knowledge of the Son of God. So let me rephrase that. He's saying, you'll have a sense together of growing to know Jesus. And it's not just about Jesus. It's the knowledge that has comprehension and experience. So knowing him intellectually is only a small step. Embracing him in our lives as Lord and Saviour, as King of Kings, that's the key. That helps us to grow. That helps us to love him and to love one another. So he says, the knowledge of the Son of God, and then you'll become mature. Now, I wonder what to you spiritual maturity looks like. How many spiritually mature Christians do you know? When you look around, who would you nominate? Well, there's only one. People say to me that they know God and they're filled with the Spirit, and I say, how would I know that? Because you tell me. How would you know I am? Because I stand up here and preach about it. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, goodness. But the word love has a full stop there. Love that is reflected in these characteristics. You know, when God so loved the world, how did he demonstrate that? This is love. God gave his Son that we might live through him. So ought we love like that. Now, I think when God changes us, it's an incredible thing. It doesn't change us from the outside. It changes us from the inside. It's seen on the outside as we live and function and engage together. And then he makes this kind of summary at the end in verse 16. From him the whole body, joined and held together, starts with him when you come into a new faith. And our friend who's going to be baptized at the end of the month is a member of the body of Christ, just started. And it comes from Jesus. And you're going to become part of a people who will love you and engage with you, and you will learn and grow together. So he says, from him the whole body and held together in every supporting ligament. Looking around here, lots of ligaments seated here this morning. You see, ligaments are the things that connect us. And we individually connect with one another. And then he makes a statement. As the body builds itself, as each part, each member does their part. So each member of the body contributes, no passengers, no static members. This is an every member ministry. Now I want to illustrate that in the best way I possibly know how. You know I grow tomatoes, if you don't, you should. And I have a special tomato. My grandfather was a great old hybridizer. And I got the seeds about 60 years ago from him. And every year I keep the same seeds. Now, if you watch the screen, you will see a little tiny green tomato. And that's the beginning of a great crop. And it's lovely to see those little ones come. There's indicative of life there, the fruit of the vine. And Jesus calls the believers the fruit of the vine. And we begin life not knowing much, but we have potential. We have the potential to grow like the big tomato. And that tomato is about 3 or 4 weeks after the small one. And it's I can see all the potential, the lovely, beautiful tasting flesh is potentially there. If I bet I were to cut it up now, it'd be wouldn't be nice on your sandwiches. So lots of Christians are at that point where we've grown a little. Yeah, we come and sing, we've got part of the life of the church, but what's God's role for us? And we only ever discover that, I suspect, in its deepest sense as we grow to maturity. And to demonstrate maturity, Trevor's going to put, there it is. Now that's, I was going to say almost the finished product. But if you have a close look, you'll see some little tiny markings, little bits of imperfection. And Jeanette will look at it and say, there's a grub there, is there anything there? It's not like the bought tomatoes. But I was informing her last night that all the commercial growers put dreadful stuff on the tomatoes to kill all the bugs. So mine are in preference to those, and plus they taste better. But I want you to look at that. Which tomato represents you? The little green one? just beginning. Ah, potential there. The large green one, don't think you're there yet. You might sing better, you might have more to contribute, but that large green tomato holds promise of maturity. This is the mature product. This is what God wants to do in your life and mine. He wants to make us mature so that we appeal to people. Some people may get angry. But you know something I've discovered? I can't remember the last time somebody got angry when I talked to them about Jesus. And I talk to people about Jesus at least every week, sometimes every day. Just something like that runner. I didn't come out there thinking I'm going to talk to somebody about Jesus. Guy calls out, hey, living the dream. Yep. You see, when we're aware of the opportunities, when we want to talk to people, it happens. And the more mature we are, the more we reflect Jesus. And the more people have, hey, what is there about that guy or that person? What is it about them? And their curiosity asks the question. And the opportunity comes. Well, which tomato are you? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being followers of Jesus. We thank you that your Holy Spirit in reality lives within us. And we can't even begin to comprehend that in the measure in which you intend for us to know. Yet we've begun a journey. And some of us, you've worked within us and you reflect yourself through us. And that's your goal for all of us. We thank you, Jesus, for all you're doing, all you intend to do in us and in our church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.